Chapter 1. Crime Discovered. Newt Lee, night watchman, yawned and stretched his legs. Far off in the silent city, a clock boomed once. The Negro listened intently. It was 2:30 of a Sabbath morning, April 27, 1913, and he must make his rounds. It was chilly there on the second floor of the National Pencil Factory, and Newt passed the palms of his black hands across the dusty glass surface of his lantern to warm them. The shadows in the corners danced and crept closer. Before him the lantern light revealed the face of the big time clock, which it was his duty to punch every 30 minutes. In a little while Newt would have made the rounds of the deserted factory building, could punch the clock, would sit down again for another rest. And he was tired, too, he thought. He needed rest. "Yassa," he muttered to himself, "I's some tired." As Newt started down the stairs to the first floor, the darkness swallowed up behind him, and only a narrow path of light showed the flight of steps down which he must clamber. Another man at the same place and hour would have felt cold shivers wriggle up his spine, but not Newt. Night after night, for many months, he had been that same round, had seen those same shadows flicker on the bare walls, watched the lantern make the same ghostly tracings on the steps. But tonight he was tired, despite the fact that Mr. Frank, the superintendent of the factory, had given him nearly the whole afternoon off. He talked to himself as he reached the foot of the steps and began to throw his lantern light back and forth on the empty first floor. Many lonely nights spent as this one had taught Newt Lee the value of silent communication and much sleep. "Here I comes down at 3:00 'cause Mr. Frank says it is holiday and he wanted to get off early," he muttered thickly. "The first thing he says is for me to git and have a good time. Not to come back till 6. Dat's a swell time I had, ain't it? Trampsin' round town when I'd lots ruther been a-sleepin' at home. Wonder what is the matter with Mr. Frank today, anyhow? 'Peared to me mouty nervous dere, rubbin' his hands and comin' bustin' out de door when I hollered up to him. Meckin' me go upstairs with Mr. Gant to git his shoes, just like he was skeered dat Gant man 'ud steal somethin'. White folks don't steal nothin', not like niggers, anyhow." By this time, Newt had made his examination of the first floor. All serene as usual. Gloomy, of course, with none of the busy workers that were there in the daytime, none of the men feverishly packing pencils, none of the scores of little factory girls bent over the machines. There were the machines, gleaming and still. Newt liked them still, for stillness and the commonplace meant safety to a night watchman. One more floor and he would be through. One more floor, the basement, darkest of the dark, always silent, always sinister. He raised the trap door over the scuttle hole. A dim light shot up. The gas jet was burning as usual, but it was turned down mighty low, thought Newt to himself. "Orders are orders," thought Newt, and Mr. Frank's orders were always to have that light burning brightly. Well, he would see. Down the ladder he climbed, his feet fastening gingerly on each rung, his lantern swaying, its light spearing the dimmer light of the basement with faint gleams, enhancing the silence and the gloom. His feet touched the bottom rung. He was on the basement floor. To each corner the lantern flicked its yellow rays. All right here, all right there. But wait, over there by the boiler, on that pile of sawdust. Newt advanced 3 steps forward and stopped. Steady the light burned, shining on a little pile of clothes and something else, something that Newt had never seen before. His heart thumped. He could hear it beat. His ears strained to catch some other sound. But from the sleeping city without, All was silent as a tomb, nothing stirring but the quick, hard thump, thump of his heart. The silence pressed around him, gripping him, and for the first time in his life the negro was seized with deadly, nauseous fear. He tried to throw it off. He swallowed something in his throat and tried to laugh. "Joe," he muttered aloud, "them factory boys is just trying to scare me. Dis little holiday joke, dat's all." His voice sounded harsh and grating in the stillness. "Dis a little joke," he repeated fearfully. And then his voice trailed off into silence. One more step forward, one more flicker of the lantern, and Newt Lee stumbled back. He had seen something that caught his blood like an icy dam, and with one bound he was sobbing his way up the ladder. That thing by the boiler was no joke, no holiday prank. Jokes were not smeared with blood. Jokes did not have hair, nor staring eyes, nor faces bruised and scarred.